Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the pilot broadcast of SDG, Sola Deo Gloria. Today's topic is Satan's, also known as Lucifer's, four deadly lies that ruined this world. Satan's whole system is built on a lie, and his motive is murder, and his method is the lie. He wants to bring upon us death, spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. He does it through deception. So today, let's learn Satan's four foundational truths from which all others are built upon. Many today have bought into these lies from the enemy. Have you? Satan's back was broken while Jesus defeated sin and death on the cross. But unless we come to Jesus, we'll always be subject to the dangers of these four deceptions because they're so cunningly close to the truth. So let's see how God truly is today. Not how Satan paints him and what the world embraces. Satan would rather have us believe a wrong thing than to do a wrong thing. Now stop for a minute and think about that. We'll get into that a little bit later. The devil is the original and master liar. Satan or Lucifer's four big lies all deal with the character of God. And when you stop and think about it, Lucifer is the evangelist seeking converts to his religions. He is an evangelist, folks. He's an evangelist. And it may surprise you to learn that he wants converts as much as he wants casualties. And Eve in the garden was his first convert. These four lies first told in the Garden of Eden are very fresh and up-to-date today. He may be a double-crosser, folks, but he certainly isn't double-minded. Satan, also known as Lucifer, is still on the same mission he has been from day one, that is to kill, steal, and destroy. Remember, Eve was his first convert. But instead of four spiritual laws, he has four spiritual flaws. So let's learn what they are. One thing they all have in common is that they tempt humanity. And Satan is more than happy to lead us away from the way, the truth, and the life. So these are Satan's four deadly lies. And upon these, all other lies are built. Remember, he is the father of lies. Look what Jesus said in John 8:44. He said, And ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, folks, he was a liar from the beginning, and he is the father of it. Every lie ever told has been spawned from the devil himself. His motive is murder, and his method is the lie. He wants death to life, joy, peace, and happiness. And he wants absolute, total death in our spirit, in our souls, and in our bodies. He is the master liar. Let's never forget that. And he really knows how to tell lies, and he's very subtle. Look at Genesis 3:1. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now the best lies sound so much like the truth. You know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. However, stop and think about what I mentioned earlier. Which is more dangerous now? A clock that you know is 12 hours wrong, or a clock that's 5 minutes slow? The slow clock, of course, because it'll deceive you and cause you to miss your flight or your appointment, whereas the broken clock is broken and you know it's wrong. And you simply ask another, hey, what time is it? So Satan's kind of like that slow clock, you know? Satan would rather have us believe a wrong thing than to do a wrong thing. Look what Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. If Satan can get you to believe a lie, you'll do wrong all the time and be on autopilot of unrighteousness. You know, when you think about it, if he merely gets you to do a wrong thing, he has to keep on tempting you over and over and over again. But if he gets you on this wrong thinking, you're on autopilot and you're on the path of unrighteousness. Do you see how subtle and cunning his way can truly be? So he accomplishes this by attacking the biggest of subjects. And God is the biggest of subjects. So if Satan can twist what God is to us, he has us. For thought is the father of the deed. Let's look at what James said in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Tozer said, no religion can rise higher than its notion of God. Satan wants you to misunderstand who God truly is. He evangelized Eve. He wanted her to believe four lies. So we're going to go through those four lies today. And these are the same four lies we see today, and they're going to still be around tomorrow. And they are so fresh and so up to date. Now, Satan may be double-faced, but I'll tell you, he is not double-minded. Remember, he knows his Bible better than we do. Look what James Chapter 1, verse 8 says about a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So lie number one from Satan, God is not loving. Look what he said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the Satan was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, now pay attention here, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here Satan's trying to get Eve to think God is withholding goodness. What a lie! What did God really say to Adam and not Eve? In Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17, we see that the Lord God commanded the man, that was Adam, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest from that tree thou surely shalt die." 2 points here. One, God said that we are free to eat from every tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And two, Eve should have gone back to Adam, and Adam should have taught Eve better. So God said, "Help yourself," and Satan said, "You can't have it." What was Satan trying to do? He wants Eve to think our God is cruel and harsh, and he wants her to be denied of all pleasure. Satan wants us to think negatively about God. Satan wanted Eve to view God as a cosmic killjoy. The truth is that God said yes to their joy and pleasure. He said to them, "Here, it's all for you. Now go out and help yourself." So God, this God, loves us. And sadly, so many today think God is cruel. Like I said, a cosmic killjoy. And that simply isn't true. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the pleasures of your heart." He will give us what we desire if we delight in him. And look at Psalm 84, 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly." He'll give grace and glory, withholding no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Hey, that's incredible, folks. Incredible. Then God says, "Thou shalt not." He is really saying, "Don't get hurt. I love you." And when he says, "Thou shalt," he's really saying, "Do this, and you'll be blessed." And to be blessed, when you stop and think about it, is to be healthy, happy, and holy. Look at what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives richly all things to enjoy." So God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So if the devil can get us to start to think negatively about God, he has us. So bottom line, God is good all the time. Line number two from Lucifer. Remember what Paul said. He comes as an angel of light. So this can actually be on the pulpits, folks, setting up religions all around the world. And that lie is that God is not truthful. His word is not to be trusted. In verse 1, the serpent cast out. He asked Eve, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Here Satan casts doubt on God's word, and doubt leads to denial. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 4. "And a woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die." Eve knew she could eat the fruit of all the trees but one. And in verse 4, Satan shows denial of God's word. And it was built upon doubt that he cast back in verse 1. You see how subtle this is? First, Satan gets Eve to think wrongly about God, and then skeptically about God. Does it sound a little bit about like our education system today and what it's doing? Friends, anyone, anywhere that tries to do this and undermine the word of God is of the devil. I don't care if he's a teacher, a preacher, in a university, a seminary, or in the pulpit. If they cast doubt upon or deny the word of God, they are of the devil, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. There is nothing else that I can state more emphatically without stutter, stammer, or stupor. This is the truth, folks, and it's happening in our culture of postmodernism. Postmodernists don't even believe there is any absolute truth. So that has to be a spirit from Antichrist. Whoever casts doubt about the word of God, he is of the devil. And I'll stand on that to my grave, folks, because I know it's true because my Bible said so. Today, we have subversive thinking undermining this truth, and it comes in many different forms. We have relativism. Relativists say there is no objective absolute truth. They claim everything is relative. Once in class, a teacher was preaching on this lie, and I'm using that term, preaching. And he said, "There is no such thing as an absolute truth." And one student raised her hand and said, "Are you sure?" The preacher, I mean the teacher, snapped back, "Absolutely." This twisted thinking came from the philosopher named Hegel and his dialectic method. Do you see how crazy the teacher was? in his reply, he declared an absolute on something that he just got done preaching was impossible. And this whole wrong way of thinking came from a philosopher named Hegel and his dialectic method. This method teaches the following: thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And here's an example. On one side of an argument, we can have capitalism, and on the other side, we can have communism. And the compromise is socialism. Now, socialism becomes the new standard of truth, and this weary argument continues over and over and over. And this is how social planners lead to a new society. They're like a Pied Piper. Plato in the Republic told of a time when sailors lost their compasses and steered by lights hung from their ships. Not very wise. Today we've lost our compass, folks, and that compass has a name, and it's called the Holy Bible. Here's another subtle twist, and it's called subjectivism. The subjectivist says, I feel this, or I feel that. And it spawned all the talk shows, and it made Oprah Winfrey who she is today. Preachers used to proclaim from their pulpits, the Bible says. Then they started to say, well, the church says this or that. Now many of them sit up front and ask the congregation, well, what do you think, and how do you feel? That, my friends, is the ultimate in subjectivism. And there's another twist to the truth, and it's called rationalism. Rationalists worship intellect. They say, thus says the mind of man, rather than thus says the word of God. Where reason cannot wade, faith must swim. That is so true, folks. Friends, many times circumstances in this life force us to go beyond what we understand. That is where we must believe, and that's what's so crucial. For if we believe wrongly, look out. Look at our current financial crisis as an example. Congress defined a dollar as 371.25 grains of fine silver, which is a measure of weight. And that's how we ended up with what's known as a dollar, or used to be known as a silver dollar. That led to paper money redeemable for silver dollars. Heck, it was easier to carry it around. But sadly today, the old, now worthless, then as promised to pay, silver certificates are only worth about 1/40th of what they were promised to pay when you carried them around. Now, that perfidy is part of our government. They clipped the coin, just as the realm of Rome did before its collapse. Had Americans trusted God's word, which says, avoid unfair weights and measures, look in Deuteronomy 25:13-15. And had Americans trusted and avoided what Leviticus 25:37 said, which said avoid credit-based loan making, and had Americans avoided the pitfalls of borrowing, as Proverbs 22:7 said, where it says the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender, then this debt crisis and the pending economic crash and the ultimate radical change in our ways of life would have never happened. And I'll tell you again, folks, look out. The dollar will collapse. Mark my words, folks. Because we deviated from the truth of God's word, we deviated from abiding in fair weights and measures, and we have become servants to the lender, the big bankers. God also said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to thee, seeing how thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. There's another twist to this truth, folks, and it's called pragmatism. It doesn't talk and ask if it's true. It only asks, does it work? Wow, that's such a dangerous and slippery slope, folks. Do you suppose that is why some may embrace abortion or euthanasia as viable solutions to an apparent problem? Oh, what a tangled web that is. And finally, we have postmodernism. In postmodernism, the postmodernists speak, but they don't bother to argue over truth. They don't believe there even is truth. And if they can even acknowledge truth, they may say something like this. They may say, well, you find your truth, and it's fine for you, and be it Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism or even nihilism for that matter, whatever works for you, that's fine. Our children have been infected by this thinking in the public schools. They must know that God's word is truth. When we say no premarital sex or fornication, no lying, no stealing, we should say not because it's wrong, but because God's word says so. God is good, and his word is truth. Now, lie number three is that God is not righteous. Look what Satan said to Eve in verse 4. ye shall not surely die. Satan's lying to Eve here and telling her that she won't be punished for her sins. He told Eve if she ate of the tree, surely God wouldn't punish her. Surely she won't die. Then Satan goes on to say, not only won't you die, but ye shall be as gods. Friends, God is good, and he's also righteous. God is loving, but he's also just. If anyone only preaches God's love without his righteousness, they are only preaching a half-truth, folks. And when a half-truth is taught as a truth, it is a lie. Law without penalty is only advice, folks. The truth is that if we die without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to hell. The idea of eternal punishment is not being taught today in our churches. Friends, there is a hell, and those who reject our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, I'm sorry, but they have an eternity of eternal torment. And that torment isn't inflicted upon them by God, but by finally realizing the truth. Torment comes from within. Hey, sorry, Rob Bell, but you're wrong. This is the truth. And it may not be nice, but sadly, many nice people are going to be in hell. You know, I believe that today people would look at me and say, hey, that comment you just made is un-American. And I believe that if Congress could pass a law outlawing this from being preached from our pulpits, they would. But guess what, folks? If Satan continues to have his way in our churches, Congress won't have to. The churches are doing it on their own, and today they're afraid to offend anyone. More is being preached about how to be a better mom or dad, or how to live a better life, than repenting from our sins and making Jesus our Lord. And folks, unless Jesus is our Lord, he cannot be our Savior. New Agers will also say, we surely won't die. Satan knows man fears death. That's why he invented reincarnation. And the high priestess of the New Age, Shirley MacLaine, she talks all about reincarnation. She said, we can eliminate our fear of death, because we're all going to be reincarnated. What a lie. And people believe this stuff. New Agers believe they are simply going to come back over and over and over again until we finally get it right and our karma is right and we reach nirvana. Do you hear all that in there? Do you hear all the self-focus? Do you hear all the self-centeredness? Did you catch that? When we get it right, when we reach nirvana. What a lie. God is too good not to punish sin, folks. God is good. God is truthful. And God is righteous. But in this postmodern age, these truths are being stolen from us at an alarming pace. And I want to conclude this message on this final point, this big lie number four. And Satan says, God is not gracious. What a lie. Look at verses 4 and 5 in Genesis 3. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye surely shall not die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan lied to Eve here and told her to eat. And if she ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she would be as God, knowing good and evil. Folks, Satan was saying that since God is not good, truthful, and righteous, we need to work up to being God. I mean, come on, think about this for a minute. Lucifer's sitting there and so subtly talking to her and saying, we'll never be all we can be until we're liberated to do what our heart desires. Think about this. Adam's rib, Satan's fib, gets your woman's lib, folks. It's really simple. Satan's lie wants us to be as God. The Bible teaches that we're to be like God, not as God. You see the subtle difference, the twist of one little word. In Revelation 22, verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. The name of God on our foreheads is God's likeness. And in Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 2, verse 9, but it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. God has a great eternal destiny for us, folks, but Satan wants us to believe that we are being cheated from God. Satan says experience is the best teacher, not God's word. What a lie. Those who know the most about sin are the deepest into it and have the least amount of righteousness, peace, and joy. Sin is deceitful. The Bible speaks of the deceitfulness of sin in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Some say, All is God. The truth is God. Truth is everywhere. But that's a far cry. That's a far cry from who God truly is. And that's an animism or a pantheism which claims all is God. In India, they say God is love. The truth is God. I'm sorry. In India, they say love is God. But the truth is God is love, and God is bigger than love. Our culture has it all twisted. We're being told that all is God. Even dirt is God. And so they tell us that we too are God. Does that mean we're dirt? You see, the New Age lies don't elevate man. They degrade him. These four lies destroy God's truth. So how can we overcome them? The key is in the book of Revelation. These two books are the two most hated books of the devil, Genesis and Revelation. You know why? Well, in Genesis, Satan is cursed by God and his sentence is rendered, and in Revelation, it is carried out. So read Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 11. And there's three key points here. Take a look at that because we're running out of time. The old serpent called the devil and Satan was cast out into the earth. That is why we have all this mayhem in the earth today. And here's how we can overcome these lies. In verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. First, by Calvary's conquest. Satan was broken and sin was defeated at the cross when he was exposed for the liar he is. Have you come to Calvary? Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ? I know this is politically incorrect to talk about, but we can only be saved by the washing of our sins through the blood of the Lamb. When Billy Graham was training to be a preacher, one of his professors told him to stop preaching on the blood if he wants to be successful. Billy said, "I will not." He preached even more. And look what he's done for God's kingdom. Number two, by the word of our testimony. Now, what's that? Is that simply our salvation story? Well, in part it is. But it's bigger than that. It's the Bible. Do you embrace God's word with all your being? Have you appreciated it? Have you assimilated it? Are you appropriating it in your daily life? And they love not their lives even unto death. That's the third key to having victory in Jesus Christ. They love Jesus with all their beings, these martyrs, every inch and fiber of their nerves. We're not really ready to live, folks, until we have died to self and live in Christ. Have you come to this point in your life? Are you ready to die to self so that you may truly live? Have you been doubting whether God is good? God is good, folks. He wants you to be right with him. By doing so, you'll be blessed. To be blessed means to be holy in your spirit, happy in your soul, and healthy in your body. Have you been doubting his word? Maybe you've been thinking the Bible is just a bunch of words written by men. Or maybe you reason, well, it's been corrupted. It hasn't been, folks. God's word is truthful. If you simply trust his word, then you'll begin to understand as his word washes you and renews your mind, transforming your mind so that you may share in the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. You'll see what I'm speaking about here is true. Have you been doubting his righteousness? Have you been thinking you can skate through life and get to heaven with your sin? You can't. Folks, he's righteous. He is both just and loving, but unless you first humble yourself and submit to his lordship, you can never be freed from the penalty of sin. And when you do, his love will abound, folks. Your life will never be the same. Remember this little simple two-step. Repent and trust. Then trust and obey. It's the only way, folks. It's the only way. Have you been thinking your life doesn't matter? It does, folks, because God is gracious. He has a perfect plan for you if you only follow him to be the Lord of your life. Then he will save you from your sin and the death we all face. And he'll transform you. And he'll work in you to free you from the penalty, power, and ultimately even the presence of sin in your life. And as he does this, he'll work miracles through you as he causes you to glorify you and bring liberty to others who are still bound by the chains of sin and death. Do you know Jesus is Lord, folks? First, you must know God is good, truthful, righteous, and gracious. And if Jesus isn't your Lord, folks, I'm running out of time here. Just fall on your knees and pray, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I turn away from my sin and I trust you. Please give me the grace to believe. Please give me the grace to turn away from my sin and turn towards you. Please give me the grace to pull my life out, glorifying you so that I may truly live and by doing so be a light to others so they may also come to know you and live." Have a great day, folks. Doing Jesus.